It's a Thursday morning. You're hanging out at the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
It is a chilly.
Yeah, buddy.
42 degrees right now. We're not getting out of the mid-50s. High of 54 this morning. In fact, it's not getting out of the 40s until around noon.
Damn.
So if you're leaving the house, you might want to bring a jacket.
A brisk.
Yes. Yes, it is. So Columbus Day weekend, Indigenous Peoples Day, whatever you say.
Yeah.
Right, it's coming up this weekend. The kids have school off Monday. I'm curious how many people's kids have off Friday also. My kids don't have school tomorrow.
What's tomorrow?
Oh, this
I don't
Friday.
Know. Yes, like tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow is.
Yeah, but your kids have weird holidays.
Yeah, they do go to Catholic schools, and when your kid
they get,
goes,
like, every holiday or teacher conference.
I don't know
whatever
if that's
they
a
call
thing.
It.
Do all the kids have school off tomorrow, or is it just my kids? Because that's it's throwing a wrench into things.
Was that like a national day?
I don't think so. Well, that's just it. I don't even know what days are anymore, right? Because like all of a sudden, like, you know, and we just have holidays we've never had before. They're federal. Sometimes they're local. And like, fine, day off. Go get a day off. But there used to be like four holidays.
Yeah.
And now there aren't holidays. It's just every 2 weeks. It's like, oh, here's the thing. The reason I bring this up.
Yeah.
Today is a big day for some middle and high school kids.
What's going on?
It is the PSAT, you know what that is?
Do not.
Practice SAT.
You take a practice test before you take the test?
You got to practice taking the test.
Yes, PSAT.
What is that?
It's a practice SAT.
Yeah. I've never heard of a pre-test test.
It's been around a while now.
A training test?
We took it when we were in high school.
Yeah.
I never took a pre-test.
Because you got to like learn how to. It's almost like you're learning more how to take the test than the actual information.
Like how to answer a question?
Well, yeah, because there's like some strategy involved. Oh. Like skipping it, you know. I can't remember what they tell you, but.
Did you take the SAT?
I have no idea.
So, no.
I doubt. Bro, that was 60 years ago.
Did the SAT exist when you were in school?
I don't know.
Can we Google?
I'm honest. So, I graduated in 1977.
Okay.
So, that helps you at all?
I don't know when the SAT was a thing. It was always a thing in our world. Like, that was like, that was like the most stress-inducing test you were going to take.
And then, like, that other one, the
ACT.
ACT I don't remember, started coming around, but that was still new at the time.
I don't remember, like maybe three big tests a year in school.
Okay.
But I don't think they were tied to anything, but just your grades, like
gotcha.
College and crap. I think that was, like, after me.
Was it college and crap that, like, school you almost went to after
high school? Yeah. The University of Central Florida. College and crap.
The first SAT was offered June 23rd, 1926.
Okay, so it was around. it definitely was around for you.
Yeah, it wasn't as widespread, but it did exist.
I didn't do it.
Okay, so it turns out Matt writes us, almost every kid has off for Superintendent's Day tomorrow. Okay, so let's see this, everybody. Going back to the whole test thing.
Yeah.
So the SAT used to be, Kimmy, a test you had to take if you wanted to go to college as a high school kid.
Yeah, but I remember everybody taking it, like even kids that didn't go to college.
Yes.
I guess maybe just in case or...
Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know what else you could have used it for.
So that started to change. Colleges around the country have started moving away from like test-determined admittance.
To what?
More towards like your overall body grades, you know, what you do in and out of school, which I do think, Kimmy, is a better way to do it.
I do, too, because, I mean, if you're somebody that took the SAT or ACT multiple times, your scores varied pretty widely sometimes. So I don't know how good it was at measuring. Like, maybe you just got lucky. Like, I wonder some of the kids that got high scores, I was like, wow, damn, like, I didn't know. I wonder if they just got lucky.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm one of them. Because I did not, when I took the SAT, I didn't study at all. They made me go, I'm like, okay. And it was out of 1600 back then.
Yeah.
I got an 1180, which is apparently a really good score.
Yeah.
And I'm an idiot.
Above average.
But I'm telling you, I did not know what I was doing. And I got the test back. And I remember teachers, like, looking at me being like, what's your angle? And
so
like,
you were just taking shots.
I think, unless I'm
sick. Is it like multiple choice, or you got to write stuff out,
both.
Or what?
Both, yes.
All right.
But the thing is, like, you can skip questions, and it won't hurt you as bad as missing questions. There's like a whole.
That's what I mean. Like, you have to practice. You have to practice the strategy of taking the test. There's a lot of. I get why kids are super stressed about it.
So the reason I bring all this up, and I'm sorry, I know it's a long way around. So last night, my daughter had her Texan section. I'm done. I'm going home. Tennis sectionals.
Okay.
Her team lost. They fought hard. So their season's over. And she's on the way back from
Wayne. I had her in FanDuel.
Way back from Wayne.
Yeah.
45-minute drive to my house. Mm. She tells me, you know, I'm really nervous about the PSATs tomorrow.
But she's taking it at her age?
Eighth grade, yeah. I guess you could take it.
Eighth grade, you guys start taking college tests?
I don't know why you're yelling at me, man. Just...
You can take it as many times as you want.
That's insane.
But this is the practice. This
right,
is the practice.
Right. But I'm saying, like, she could take it as early as she wanted, probably, right?
I don't know
if there's an age limit.
I have no idea. No idea. And that kind of comes along with, she goes, I'm really nervous about taking this test. And I go, honey, it's a practice test. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything at all. And she goes, I've never taken it. And I go, well, that's why. You know, it doesn't matter. You just go and you try your best and whatever happens. Right. It's, you know, it literally does not mean anything. And she won't stop on the ride home talking about, you know, what about this and what about that? And I'm thinking to myself, hey, nerd, it's not a big
deal.
I have never cared about anything.
But that's why your kid's successful.
Okay, but Kimmy.
Like, you should want her to feel that way, because I was like, meh, just take it again if it sucks this time.
No, but I wasn't even close to this stressed out about the actual SAT as a junior in high school when I should have understood what was happening.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to talk sense into my eighth grader.
Yeah, but she's, like, super driven.
Okay,
she is.
Okay, she's great. I love my daughter. She's very smart. I'm not trying to make a braggy dad thing. What I'm trying to say is...
Yeah.
What do you say to your kid? Like, there are things that you know now as an adult matter versus don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be hard to convince your kid otherwise. And I don't know how to look at my daughter with some of these things that she gets really stressed out about and be like, it doesn't matter, without making it seem like everything else doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I, you know.
You want her to have that mentality for things that matter.
Yes. But But
people that are like that driven don't ever act like that. They take everything serious and like everything matters,
even
and
the smallest task,
right?
Like, she's just a perfectionist,
and they
know?
Become really well adjusted, not annoying adults.
No, but she'll be successful and well fed.
Bro, all right, come walk with me, let's take a walk. Allow me to gesture to everyone in management we've ever had that you despise,
Who
are those types of type A
they are families. They are right. But those guys are on the top,
are they? And then you just try to drag them down and talk crap and everyone.
I do the best I can.
Like, it's my kid, so you're sitting here going, oh, that's a really good thing. If this was anyone else, you'd be like, nerd.
She's one of the good ones.
Okay. No, I didn't know what to do last
night. I think you gotta let her run.
Okay,
let her go.
No, what if she like freaks out? What if she, like, you know, I don't want it to be one of these things where, like, a month or two from now, something, like, just overwhelms her and she, like, totally spazzes.
Yeah, but isn't that part of the process?
Having a nervous breakdown as
no,
a 13-year-old?
Yeah, maybe not a nervous breakdown, but, you know, dealing with your emotions.
That's all well and good if you're, like, picking things up along the way. And I guess that's what I'm starting to realize father is I did not care enough about that kind of stuff to teach her how to handle the stress, because I was never stressed about that stuff. Do you know what I'm saying?
You would do the opposite. You'd convince yourself why it didn't matter more than why it did.
And it really mattered. It mattered at the time, but I was just like, whatever, man.
But just like your daddy.
I don't know if you can tell somebody. Have you ever told somebody, don't worry about it, and they were just like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Dad said, don't worry about
every
it.
Every so wife I've ever had.
I don't know if you can, like, talk somebody out of that mentality.
You can't.
Like, I don't have the tools to do that.
Is this a boy-girl thing? Because if my dad, when I was a kid, looked at me and said, this doesn't matter, don't worry about it, I would immediately have been like, okay.
Really? I don't know if anybody could have told me, don't worry about it, and I just would have been like, oh, okay, because you said so, I shouldn't worry about it.
Like, if your dad looked at you and said, don't worry about something.
I would have taken a run with it. But I wasn't ever really worried about anything. That's the problem. Like, I was the exact opposite. Like, I would wake up knowing I was going to go to school. And had no idea, and everybody was like marching into this test, like we were all going on Apollo 11, and they're all like stressed, and I'm like, I don't care. And I should have cared.
Here's how stupid I was.
Are we having a dumb off?
Oh, right we are now? Having a dumb off. I was so cocky, right? Even though I was exactly what you're describing, no idea what's happening, you know, I no semblance of any grasp of what I'm going to do for this test. I would sit down and be like, I'm going to just ace this because I'm a good test taker.
Oh.
And it never worked. But
I'm also a good drunk driver.
No, that's exactly the kind of mentality I had. And every time I would, like, it would be miserable and I would do terribly. But it wouldn't keep me from the next time from being like, I'm just going to sit down.
But did you ever get, like, halfway through the test and be like, oh, my God,
oh, no.
I'm screwed.
I'd be five questions in and be like, nope, not today. Yeah. But for some reason, I kept having this blind faith in myself. Like, the next one, no, man. No, I'm just the type of guy. But then I got 1180 on my SAT, so I was kind of right the
whole time. Well, yeah, because I just knew I'm failing this test, and there's just nothing I could do about it. There's nothing we can do.
The worst one ever.
Yeah.
Again, 252 WCMF. It's PSATs, practice SATs for some kids here in the Greater Rochester area if they're taking them. My eighth grader's taking them, and she was telling me last night she's all nervous, and I'm trying to tell her it's not that big a deal. My junior year of high school, I needed a – it was like an 80 on my French final to pass.
Oh, you were screwed.
Bro, I don't
– Les screws.
So I remember the night before, like my mom is like, please – like, you know, study, and I'm like, look, and I sat down with her, and I looked her in the face,
it's
and I'm like.
It's too late now, Mom.
I know, I didn't say that.
I'm not going to learn French in a night.
I didn't say that. I'm like, Mom, I got this, right? Like, I've been taking French since seventh grade. There's stuff in my brain. Right. It's just going to unlock. I'm telling you, I'm going to sit
down. Okay, so it's all going to come to you.
I'm not going to summer school. I'm going to be fine. Don't worry about it. And I went in, and I confidently took that test. And a week later, we got the score back, and I got a 35. I got a 35.
I got this.
A 35% as a functioning 16-year-old boy. I don't even know how you get that low.
There had to be some multiple choice on there.
But it's all in French.
But Kimmy, I remember looking at
the
score.
But you think, like, just process of elimination, maybe you could get at least, like, I don't know, close to a 50?
Yeah, is French multiple choice different?
But I remember looking at the score and thinking about it. So, because there was a writing part and a speaking part.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like,
wait, so you had to orally do French?
Yeah,
so you had to, like, I remember you'd have to sit down, go in a room, and have a conversation with your French teacher, and they would grade you based on how that conversation went.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, it was part multiple choice, part writing, and then part
speaking.
And
then you're talking French to some chick. You did fine.
35. No, but I remember thinking, looking at the exam, like, you couldn't have, like, I talked to you and, like, I wrote. Like, you couldn't have found 10 or 15 points to get me to at least a half? Like, what did I do to you other than not study nor prepare nor pay any attention for the entire year?
I never understood the language stuff because, like, I had to take Spanish. And I flunked Spanish 1. Or I think I got a D in it.
Okay.
But they made me take Spanish 2, guaranteeing to flunk.
Yeah.
Because if I only got D Spanish in me now, that's all I got. That's all the Spanish I got. But they make you take it knowing you're going to fail the next one.
Well, but there's logic behind.
What's the logic? Make me take Spanish 1 again.
Okay, yeah, but that you could have been.
Probably should have done
right,
that,
they don't. They just, well, you got a D.
But you could have went to summer school and got the grade up.
They didn't make me go.
But no, I'm saying you could have gone.
Bro, I wasn't taking on extra workload
okay,
of summer
so
school.
That's your fault.
I was already doing my advanced doctorate in summer school.
All right, look. I can sit here and we can have discussions about issues with the public school system, private school system, whatever. But you getting a D, not realizing you don't know what you're talking about.
They pushed me through.
Yeah, they made me go to the next one. You could have done more.
I wouldn't have, though.
Okay.
Think about it. I had a whole year of Spanish. And by the way, they only gave me a D to get you to Spanish, too.
Sure. Spanish dos.
Dos Equis?
Spanish, two X's, and then the third X is when your mom showed up for the teacher's conference.
I would like a beer. It's dumb. They made me take typing. They made us take typing.
I had to do it too.
I had to take typing in elementary school.
I'm shorthand.
But I'm so happy they made me take typing. I am an amazing typist.
Well, here's what's funny. It was forward thinking because that's all we do now. But like back then, like I'm not going to be a secretary for my dad. Not with these legs. And I can't hula hoop. So where am I going? And we had to take shorthand.
That's funny.
So remind me what shorthand is again.
So basically, it's like, so when a secretary is like taking down dictation, she could write faster this way.
Yeah, my mom still writes like notes to herself in shorthand.
And it's like figures. And these figures mean words.
Oh.
So you can just go. But, bro, I ain't good at words. I got to take this word I ain't good at and turn it into this squiggly line.
You'd think you'd be better at shortening words.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
I wasn't.
Okay. All right, well, listen, if you are a kid headed out to school today to take the PSAT, no, it's just a practice test. Go in relaxed, enjoy yourself.
Kick back, man.
Enjoy the 2.5 hours you have to take this test this morning. That was the other concern. She's like, do I get a bathroom break? I'm like, I don't remember. It was like 20 years ago.
Oh, sure you do.
You get a break halfway through.
Okay. So you got to hold it for
at least they used to give you one.
Hold it for an hour and 15 minutes.
That's tough.
Oh,
that's a test.
I got to text her and remind her to bring a number 2 pencil. I don't even know if we have any number 2 pencils in the house.
Does a school have them?
No, you go easy and bring your own number 2 pencil.
Yeah.
The money you're paying to that joint, they ain't got a goddamn pen or pencil.
It's part of like teaching the kids responsibility for their dads on the radio to remember they have to text their kid to bring a number 2 pencil. Hey, they're back.
Who's back?
No, it hurts. It really hurts, right? Because when you care about a sports franchise, and you know we care about our sports franchises deeply in Western New York, to watch just the wheels spin in mud over and over and over again, and you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait all off season for hope, but it's bad.
So there ain't nothing this year?
That's just it, man. Like, I don't know if I'm just being a dick here, and I don't mean to be, because you know I'm a very optimistic sports
person.
Oh,
yeah, I know you are.
But as they open up tonight, I don't even think I have hope.
No hope?
Better way to go into it, though?
But it makes it less fun.
I don't know how you watch the game.
I like hockey.
Yeah, but this is going nowhere.
You're hanging out in the break room. So is the show. Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF, but I'm here every single day. Yeah. Tonight, your Buffalo Sabres kick off their 25-26 season.
Damn.
New York Rangers come to town, 7 p.m. puck drop live right here on 96.5 WCMF. And if I'm being honest with you, this year is a hard sell to get Sabres fans to buy in.
So have they sunk to their lowest?
I want to say yes.
Yeah, you hope.
I mean.
Because usually there's a draft guy coming in, something to
be excited about.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So no. All right. The Sabres haven't made
a foot-long sandwich.
2-foot-long chicken parm sub I am excited about. The Sabres haven't made the playoffs in 14 years. There are high school kids this morning that have never experienced a Sabres playoff game.
Wow.
My daughter is 15.
Yeah.
She was 1 year old when I was at the last Sabres home playoff game. I left her at home because she was not enough of a fan to go yet. The Sabres in the offseason didn't really go out and spend any big money on players. The draft pick that you brought up, he didn't make the big club, so he's playing in Rochester to start off the season. And if that wasn't bad enough, their starting goalie, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Wait, that's an actual name.
I've said this name multiple times on
here. Ukko-Pekka Luukka?
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Smokes.
Yes. He has this mystery injury. He will not even be able
to... Wait, Ukko Meatballs is out?
He's not even playing tonight.
Oh.
So they're starting the season without their starting goalie, and we don't know how long he's not going to play. Yeah. They have two brand new goalies, journeyman goalies, that will be their goalies for the season so far, Alex Lyon and Alex Gorgiev.
Why is this sport not more popular?
Okay. I don't.
So you're down to like
you're already playing two backup goalies.
So that ain't
opening
good.
Night. Yeah, not that's the understatement of the
and you're
century.
You're taking on the Rangers.
Well, I mean the Rangers aren't they? I mean they're not. But I'm just saying, like just moving forward, you can't even start the season with a goalie who you're starting. And by the way, I love Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and he was underwhelming last year, so it's not like even if he was starting, it'd be like
it's not a guarantee.
Kimmy, what the hell happened? They got so bad so fast.
I don't know. I think the most disappointing part of it all is you see franchises in any sport where like there's just whether they don't have like the support fan base wise, they're in a weird city that doesn't really support it. And like they have a tough time getting things going. But Buffalo is a hockey town.
Western New York is a hockey region.
This should be a hockey destination. And it's just not.
I mean, tell me you.
And it hasn't been.
Tell me, you remember how on fire Western New York was for Sabres hockey.
So I can remember going to that to see. It was the year they went to the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, 05, 06 or 99?
It was the one with the no goal. No goal.
Oh, that was 99. Mm-hmm.
All right, so, and I went to the Toronto series, and it was insane.
Yeah.
Like, just like people weren't even going to the game. They were just out front. It was just like this massive party. Yeah, it was crazy.
I mean, I
had never been to a hockey playoff game.
Like, you bring it up, man. Like, when the Sabres were in the playoffs for all those years that they were in, whether it was that run in 99, 05, 06, the years between that, right? Like, bars were packed full of people in Buffalo and Rochester there to watch the game. You're right. They would get 5,000, 7,000 people standing in the concourse outside to watch the game on a big screen.
Yeah, Jim Kelly had his nightclub down there, and that place was packed.
It was
just watching it. It was huge.
It was
and
nothing.
It was Toronto, so everybody, you know, hates everybody.
But, I mean, for any game, regular season, whatever, it was nothing to hop in a car and drive down the thruway and go to a Sabres game. Like, it was a fun 60 minutes each way knowing you were getting to watch Sabres hockey, and now they can't sell season tickets to save their life right now.
And I think, like, people in Buffalo are dying to watch a playoff run because they come here to watch the Amherst late in the season when they have their playoff game, their home playoff games.
You're
like
right.
I met a whole group of people that last year that came from Buffalo to watch the game.
Because it's all you have is hope.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't even know if the hope's. And by the way, this hurts me to say. It pains me to say this because I love the Sabres.
Yeah.
I love the Sabres for the first 12 years of the drought. I was that guy that's like, this is it. We're going to turn over a new leaf and here
we go.
Well,
they should. I mean, yeah, I guess so.
I don't get how it can go this long. And why in Western New York we are cursed to have teams that are bad for a long period of time. Because when the Bills didn't make the playoffs for 17 years also.
This isn't even the longest
playoff drought for our favorite team.
I also want to point out, to add insult to injury, it's not that they haven't had talent.
That's what I'm saying. Because
every time the Stanley Cup rolls around, you'll see multiple former Sabres on both teams.
Didn't they get some kids that were like really good? They got this kid one time from Boston College who was supposed to be like the man.
BU. You're talking about Jack Eichel.
Yeah.
Yeah. That didn't work out.
Yeah.
But he won a Stanley Cup with Vegas. And then there was Sam Reinhart the year before him. He won a Stanley Cup, two of them actually with Florida. And then there was Ryan O'Reilly that brought him in as a free agent.
And there's no excitement.
No.
So there's like nothing.
I hate it. It makes me so mad. But here, like an idiot, I'm going to sit down tonight and I'm going to watch this game and I'm going to watch all of them. I'm going to watch every game.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go.
82 games.
I'm going to sit and.
That's
torture,
man.
You know what sucks?
Like, I guarantee you the Pagulas don't watch them games.
It's possible.
Right?
Well, maybe it's maybe why we're in the spot that we're in right now. And, like, what sucks the most about hockey, and any hockey fan can tell you this, right? Like, if you have a bad football team, that football team will go out and just get the doors blown off, right? You'll lose by 15 points every week. You know it's over before the game starts. Even the worst hockey team in the NHL will play a competitive game against the best hockey team in the NHL. So it's not like you go into the game and all of a sudden you're down 5 goals immediately. It's like, this is over. They're going to drag you along.
They'll have a little bit of a run in mid-season.
Yes. They're going to win 10 out of 12. Yeah. And you're going to go,
look at them go.
Oh, every year, here we go. God! I just want to cheer for something that like has a possibility.
Well, because you're getting spoiled now because of the Bills. Because the Bills are so good. And it's the same owner. You would think, like, just apply that logic over here a little bit.
But they tried. In fact, they tried to have the same people running the team at the same time. That didn't
work.
Maybe
that's not the...
But then they separated it. It somehow got worse. Right? And, like, you know, you bring up the Bills being good. Yes, you're right. As we talk about the Sabres kicking off the season tonight and everything's already going to hell before the season even starts, we shouldn't bitch too much. Because we do have the Bills and how well they've been playing. And we have Josh Allen.
I mean, they're on the national stage now.
But what I think the cruelest part of this
What's that?
Is for some godforsaken reason, I don't know what curse was put on years ago.
Yeah.
The Bills and the Sabres, throughout the history of these two franchises, it is impossible for them to be good at the same time.
All right.
When the Bills get good, the Sabres get terrible.
Yeah.
When the Sabres get terrible, the Bills get good.
Okay.
Like the 17-year playoff drought was the best hockey the Sabres have played in their franchise's history. And then as soon as that ended, Josh Allen showed up, and all of a sudden the Bills were great, and the Sabres have just been a complete tire fire disaster.
That's why I'm so jealous of cities like Boston, for example.
Shut up,
where
Kimmy.
Like, listen, I hate it. I hate every Boston sports team. But like, if you love sports and you're from there, and no matter what season it is, you always have another team to look forward to. There's always going to be one team that has a good season,
and all your
town.
Teams have won. Yeah. All your teams have championships.
Yeah, that's great.
So, like, awesome. If you got a down football season, well, maybe your hockey teams or your basketball team's going to be good that year. You always got something to look forward to.
How about them Sox?
It makes me so mad.
How about the Sabres?
And, like, here's the thing.
The Sabres.
I'm also having FOMO not being able to go to the game tonight.
Why?
Because I agree with you. Why?
Nobody's going to that game.
I agree. They're probably. I hope they sell out the home opener.
What if they don't?
They're going to. But, like, I go on this rant and I say all these things and I feel like a bad fan saying it because, again, I held out hope for 12, 13 years, right? But, like, tonight, that game's going to – I'm going to sit down and watch a game on MSG tonight, or you can listen to the game here on CMF, and I'm going to go, man, I should have been there. Why am I not there? I wish I was there. Like an idiot.
Why don't you just bail on him?
Yeah, you ready for this? You ready for this? What? I have been
– You got the Amherst, right?
The Amherst dropped the puck Friday night, and they've been playing
really
well.
There's more excitement about that.
No, I agree. The Amherst are playing awesome. It's just, you know, like the Sabres, I love the Sabres.
Mm.
I have been to 2 Sabres games in 2 years, okay?
Yeah.
I have not watched them score a goal at home.
Really?
Really?
They've been shut out both games
Maybe
I went
bad
to.
Luck.
Damn.
That's disappointing. You hope for at least one goal.
So I haven't seen a goal in person in 24 months.
Give us a garbage time goal.
Give me
anything.
For God's sakes, man. Do something. Please, poke you with a stick. Do something. Oh, by the way, I'm getting multiple messages. They released the goalie Gorgiev that I just yesterday.
Wait, the guy's name?
No, he's not even on the
guy with 7 names?
I hate everyone. No, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is hurt. He's not playing.
Gorgiev. What about Gorbachev?
Gorbachev.
Is he still playing?
Well, after he's done shooting his pizza commercial. Yeah. Two kinds of people in this world, Tommy.
Yeah, we got
folks who do this without even thinking.
Yeah.
And people who find it disgusting. But it turns out this is much better for the world we live in than we previously thought. And it could save you a little bit of money.
How much?
Literally a little
bit.
And
I got to look at it.
You're hanging out at the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. The younger you are,
yeah,
the more likely it is that you pee in the shower.
Okay.
A new study.
The younger you are?
Yes. A new study shows that almost one quarter of us admit to taking a leak in the bathtub, shower, whatever, but just over 10% of us do it on a daily basis.
Mm. Like that's where you pee?
I don't know.
Or you just have to pee while you're in the shower? There's two different pools
of
thought here.
Both can apply, I guess. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't break down which one.
Right.
So millennials and Gen Zers were by far the most likely to pee in the shower.
Well, that makes sense because they don't pee on that much. Where I pee constantly because of my age. You know what I'm saying? Like if I was a shower peer, I'd be wet all day.
Okay. Gen Xers, only about 13%.
What is that, 40?
That's over like
45 50. And up.
Goddamn.
Yeah. Gen Xers are old now. You're all old. Well, you look pretty cool with your Tony Hawk's haircut. Yeah. Only 6% of baby boomers say they pee in the shower. You want me to believe only 6% of baby boomers?
Yeah, that's way. But hold on, though. But it's mostly dudes, right?
No, it could go both.
Anybody could pee in the shower.
I understand, but do
you
women?
You make it sound like a children's
book.
Anybody can pee. Sing it with me, kids. But like, do women pee in the shower, or is that more of a dude thing?
I don't know why it would be different. I guess like the
numbers. It's easier for us.
You know,
No, it's not. It's honestly, it's easier for a woman to pee in the shower.
You know what he's trying to do? What? He's trying to ask you if you pee in the shower.
No, I mean, no, I don't want to know that.
Say he's doing it.
I have. Do. I don't. I'm not a regular shower peer.
Oh, hold on. Multiple men have offered money for things on the live stream right now. Stand by.
So I saw somewhere that I have no idea how true this is, but as a woman, like you shouldn't pee in the shower. It has something to do with like contracting your muscles.
It's bad for you?
Yeah, like it gets you used to like. Not having to use your, I don't know. I don't know the science behind it, but
hey, I got a scientific fact. What is it? I don't know.
There was something about
like the muscles,
like holding it. It makes it harder for you to hold it in the future.
Oh,
if you are a regular shower peer,
like standing up peeing.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. All right. Tommy finished his sentence. Peeing in the shower is,
I think when a chick does it, it's gross.
Why? What's the difference?
I don't even think about it.
It's still going to the same place.
I don't want to think about a chick peeing. It ain't my thing.
By the way, you're one of the only radio guys who feel that way.
Well, I know. I work with that dude.
Why? There's no difference.
Why don't I? Yeah, there is.
So if you were taking a shower with a woman and she started peeing, that would freak you out.
I don't want to see that.
But she wouldn't. It's all the water's going down.
You're talking about. She's in the shower while you're in the shower.
Like we're showering together.
I'm just saying, like you know, you're trying to take.
We're having an intimate moment in the shower.
I don't do that.
No.
And all of a sudden, yellow's running down her leg.
All right. There are sexy showers together.
Yeah.
And there are necessary showers together because you're on the run.
I've only taken sexy showers.
Peeing in the either of you aren't peeing in the shower when the other one's in there.
Would that be a deal breaker for you?
It would bother me.
My wife would be disgusted.
Yes.
So your wife is not a shower peer.
No, and she doesn't want to see me pee. Like, our bathrooms, you saw my bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
It has double doors. There's doors to the bathroom and there's doors to the toilet.
This is true. It's like a Disney hotel suite.
Yeah. So, yeah, we don't, yeah.
All right, Kenny's.
I've never been, I know there's guys that are into that stuff.
No,
but,
this is not what I'm trying to talk about. No, you're talking about
necessary peeing.
I don't want to see it.
All right, Kimmy, so you're telling me if you and your husband, you're running late for something because you guys only have one shower, right?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So you're in the shower together, real quick, da-da-da, he just starts peeing, doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
Why? Gross. What's the big deal?
You don't have to do it while I'm in here.
Yeah. We're trying to save time here.
I don't want
to,
like...
First of all, your penis is disgusting. She doesn't want to see that.
It's the
and
cleanest
your penis.
It will
I
ever
mean, and
be.
And our shower is very small, so it's going to get on
right.
me.
Right.
Okay. It is weird how opposed some people are to taking a leak in the shower. Not while someone else is
I
in
do
there.
It by yourself, but not while I'm in there.
But, like, you know, like, it shows here... That like 30% of people are absolutely disgusted by peeing in the shower.
It is a gross thing.
No, it's not though. It's going down the same drain as the toilet.
I understand that, but I don't.
It's going to get mixed in with the soap. It's actually cleaner, I would argue, than peeing in the toilet.
So I know a dude who used to go to the JCC.
Okay.
And which is it's a gym basically, right? And he would be in the sauna and in the steam, and especially in the steam, he would get up in the steam with other people in there and just
gross.
Drain it into the
so
drain.
Bad.
Okay, that's different. Yes,
no,
that's
it's not.
Gross.
It is
absolutely it is
not
different.
Any
I mean,
different.
Your shower is
how's that
running.
Different?
There was water running in the shower and it's going right down the drain.
Okay, but you could take the wand okay. and just drain it right
there's
on down.
There's also not a seven guys in my
yeah,
shower.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have the space.
But he didn't see anything wrong with it.
No, that's not the same thing.
So they threw him off the radio.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they told him, get out of here. No, that's gross, man. I don't want to see a dude pee. And I used to take showers with when I was a kid, you know, military school, where it was a joke. But we were like 12 years old.
You have said you've gotten in pee fights.
Yes, I was 12.
Okay.
I don't want to break one out over there at Planet Fitness.
Okay, we're having two different arguments here.
I don't think so,
I
man.
Agree
because
with
the
you.
Act, my point is the act is gross.
It is not. And if you are in the shower by yourself and you pee, that is not gross. It's totally fine.
Okay, that's fine.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's still kind of gross.
It's not gross. So you don't pee in the shower?
I do. I'm not proud of it. I mean, it's only out of necessity. Like, if I am getting ready to take a shower and I feel the urge, I'm going to pee, go in the shower. I'm not going to, like, savor the moment.
No, I'll wait till I get in the shower.
No, I do not do that.
It's time saving. I need that 45 seconds.
That's gross.
252 WCMF, the younger you are, the more likely you are to pee in the shower. And we're finding out that Tommy does it, but he's not into it. And I'm not, thou protesteth too much. I'm starting to wonder what you're actually into. I'm not into it, guys. I swear to God, I'm not into it.
Well, it almost makes me think, like, if you're okay with, like, peeing in front of each other, that's kind of weird.
It's weird that you don't pee in general in front of your wife.
Honey, yeah, into
like
discharge.
With the door open.
So, because you will not keep the door open and go to the bathroom while your wife is there.
No.
That's weird.
Why?
That is weird.
She didn't want to see it. She wanted to hear it.
Bro, you've been...
My wife does not want to hear me. I've never been with any woman that wanted to hear me pee.
Not that they want to, but it's just water going into a bowl.
It grosses them out.
Okay. I pee with the door open with my wife. I will have conversations while I'm peeing with my wife with
that
the door
I
open.
That I don't get. When I go into that room, that is the dome of silence. What my parents were the worst at this. They would wait till you went into the bathroom, and they'd have a question for you.
Yeah.
And they go, let me come in. No! Leave me alone, man. This is like private time. That's why they call it your privates.
Bro, like you...
It's private time for your privates in the private area.
Your brain doesn't make sense.
No, my brain is clean.
No, because like you are the most sexually depraved person I've ever met in my life. You're disgusting. You got all kinds of weird things. Yet when it comes to common stuff, like a door open where your penis isn't even exposed and you're talking, that is just, it's a bridge too far. Oh, my God. Oh, we have to keep ourselves chaste and clean. Unclean, he says.
You are unclean. And I'll tell you what you're getting close to.
What?
Way after the peeing? Open door dumping.
Oh, no.
Open
yeah,
door dumping is
line.
Coming. Hey, if you're comfortable with Wizola, open door dump, which was one of the worst homeless shelters of all time. Yeah, you're getting that close, bro.
No, okay, look, I will not dump with the door open, but if my wife is calling for me, I will open the door while I'm dumping and be like, what do you need?
No.
Nope.
Really?
No. That's the grossest.
I don't need that visual.
No.
252 WCF.
Grunting and plopping.
And a plopping and a grunting?
Grunt. Yeah, plopping.
He's so grossed out he can't even do this.
I'm getting nauseous.
Okay, so it turns out that peeing in the shower doesn't just save time, it's good for the world around us, too.
Why?
A new study shows that the average person peeing in the shower saves you 660 gallons of water a year.
Oh, because you're not flushing.
Yep. That is a lot of water.
Yeah.
And the article kind of paints peeing in the shower not only as a way to help the environment, but they get into, like, you can save money.
How?
Okay.
Like, how much
on
money do you think
bill?
You're saving over a year?
Yeah. All right. So I actually have
Look at the savings we go. You could go buy a Cadillac.
They don't tell you how much money you're
of
saving.
Of course not.
So we ran the numbers. The reality is, in the greater Rochester area, every 1,000 gallons of water you use in your house costs between $3.50 and
$4. Dude, $3.50.
Yeah. So annually, 660 gallons of water would save you about
$2.50. Damn, that's a quality savings. You could parlay that at the bank.
It's still something.
No, it's nothing. Well, it's less than a cup of coffee.
Doing something you may be doing already. So
you just invest that compound interest, buddy. You know, in 50 years, you got $75.
Yeah.
So going back to something you mentioned before, because this is also a sticking point for a lot of people, couples. And I would also argue, if you are a couple, if one of you is fine peeing in the shower and the other one is disgusted by it, that relationship will not work.
Mm.
Like, you both have to be on the same page, whatever.
I agree.
Peeing in the shower while you're taking a shower versus using the shower as a urinal while you're not showering.
No.
Wait, so you go to the wait, hold on.
Running the water and peeing into the drain.
So I walk into the shower? I'd have to have a walk-in shower.
No, you could also pee over the side of the tub into the drain while the water's running.
And then what do you do?
Okay. Well, here's why, man. What's that?
But you still had to run the water to get it down.
Yeah, I run the water. And yeah.
Why didn't you just use the toilet?
Okay, so when I was a kid growing up, you know, we had six people in the house, one bathroom.
Right.
Bathroom didn't have a lock on it. There was no point. So if my brother was taking a dump and I had to pee, it was a shower urinal there.
God, you people sound like you lived in India in the 1920s.
And you know you didn't run the water after you.
Of course, I always ran the water. I always...
Hey, the water may not have been running. Papa didn't pay the bill.
What other choice did I have?
I don't know.
Wait,
man,
until your brother's done.
No, you
go outside.
Ryan, you ever say,
I'm
Ryan,
surprised you're not
Ryan
an outside
takes 4 hours.
Peer.
I would love to be an outside peer, but we didn't have like a privacy fence. I wait for Ryan to finish a dump. I'm still waiting, and he started when he was 12. No, man, like I know I'm not the only person
I'm
who
sure,
had a
but
family.
That was because you were poor, and you had you didn't have the necessity.
By the way, only having one bath. There are plenty of people who aren't poor that just have one bath.
The
in
tub.
House.
I've never heard of the tub urinal.
If you're a family of six and you got one bathroom, your ass is poor.
We weren't.
You are. That's a that's the definition of Poe.
It's not the definition of Poe.
It is Poe. You Poe peeing bitch.
I am not the only one who
I'm
was
sure, there's other
peeing
poor people.
While their brother was taking a dump. Brother was taking a dump. Okay. To your point,
what?
I do remember living with this girl. We had a clear glass shower in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Right? And one night she's brushing her teeth. And she looked over, and she saw me peeing in the shower.
And she flipped.
Like, flipped.
Well, but that doesn't make any sense, too, because you could have used the toilet.
Yes.
Well, no, I was in the shower. I was in the shower at the moment. I was taking
a shower.
I
thought you opened it up just to pee.
No, it was the weirdest shower. You know, like, if you've seen glass showers before that have, like, but they have, like, iced over glass.
Yeah, but you can see a silhouette of yourself.
This was just plain glass.
Oh, you could just see straight
in. There I am. Like, I'm here. I am right here. But I was super confused, because at the time, I was, like, 20 years old, and I thought everyone peed in the shower at that point.
Oh.
Like, she's screaming at me, and I'm literally like a dog that got a hamburger, and I didn't know I did anything wrong. I'm just like, whoa, okay. That can be the other embarrassing thing.
What?
If you grew up in a pee-in-the-shower household, you may not be aware that people live differently until you're sharing the most intimate of spaces
with
people.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
And when it comes to peeing in the shower, like, you know, Kimmy, if you end up having roommates, there are things you learn along the way, like this isn't normal.
Yeah.
But, like, your roommates would never know you peed in the shower because they're not going to be in the bathroom with you. It's not until you get in a romantic relationship that you may find out other people don't pee in the shower.
All right. Yeah, it could
be. Just going to say, like, your bathroom habits in general, I mean, they form when you're a kid and with your siblings and stuff, and whatever you guys did, you probably just thought was the norm. Whether it's, like, especially when it comes to, like, your level of bathroom privacy. So, yeah, like, there could be people who are super, super open about their bathroom activities, and then you meet somebody who's the complete opposite, and they think you're a weirdo.
Like, if you were...
And you might think they're weird for being so private about it. Like, what are you hiding in there?
Like, if I was at your house, and you had one bathroom, and you're taking a dump, I would have no problem peeing while you're dumping.
No, we're not doing it. We're adults here. We're not doing it.
Wagaha adults here. Why are you so bothered by this?
Because you should be.
It's just...
You should be disgusted by... urine.
It's just the human body.
I understand that.
I just think like that would be like a last resort, can't hold it anymore situation.
I'm not saying, hey man, I'm coming over so you can dump while I pee.
Comfortable with it.
Maya, I think, hits it on the head.
Maya,
as we move
on. Is
that
a chick?
It's a woman, yes.
But she better be disgusted by peeing.
She writes us, Duffy and WCMF, the easiest way to get us. Open door bathroom in a relationship, I feel, develops out of necessity among parents. So Tommy, as a non-parent, wouldn't understand where that comes from. Maybe that's why I'm not grossed out by this stuff, because I also had to, you know.
Change diapers.
Exactly. It is what it is, man.
Okay. Well, I can't argue that because I never had kids. So, okay. Checkmate.
Yeah.
I'm still gross.